The Morning Jam with Janet Rose and Mark Lamb.
So, Trey, tell us what you're involved with this guy that just got in here, Dr. Mike Anderson, and tell us what's been going on with Grow a Future.
Yes. So, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Janet, as usual, for having us. Thank you, Bill Bodine from the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation. So, yes, I'm here with the Dr. Mike Anderson. Our organization and nonprofit is called Grow a Future. We have been working very hard over the past year and a half to get this thing off the ground. We have led with a great sense of urgency to provide the urban communities with the types of resources and programs that we feel like we need, they're going to need in order to be successful in the future. And that's the whole premise of what we're doing. We're currently located at the Hunt and Randolph Community Center. And we've been renovating the building over the past few months. If you've driven past there on 12th Street, it's right next to Dunbar Middle School. We've been able to get a lot done in a very short amount of time. And so we're really excited. We're hoping to launch here in early 2022. And, you know, we're going to continue to roll with this thing. You know, we have a very big vision for what we want to do in the future. And we're just going to continue to grow. And the more that, you know, we collaborate and bring people on board, we feel like the bigger we can get and the bigger the impact that we can have.
So it's been a while since we talked to you guys about this. Dr. Anderson, tell us what's happened since we had you last in the studio and, you know, how things are progressing, because we are in the middle of a pandemic. It's an interesting time to start an organization. How's it going?
Okay, well, yeah, thanks, Mark and Janet. Great to see you guys again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The program that is Grow a Future is actually been around for 16 years.
Okay,
and it was the program that I actually started that preceded the Jubilee Center, which I'm the co-founder of that as well.
Okay,
so the work that we've done has been a systemic work over the last 16 to 20 years, and this is the newest addition to the family of programs. Okay,
I see.
So we've been around for a while, and Grow Future is just a different concept, and we focus on three things. Three things we focus on, and that's literacy, enrichment, and wellness. And the most important focus is the literacy part. And under literacy, we call it focusing on the facts, okay? So our acronym is FACT. We're focusing on financial literacy, academic literacy, cultural literacy, and technology. And Grow Future is a different type of approach to a community center. We are more strategic, we're more focused, we're laser focused, and we're not only about enrichment and enriching and enhancing programs, but we actually want to add to the tax base.
Mm-hmm.
We want people who are coming out of poverty to develop skills that are going to contribute to the free enterprise system, to the markets. We want people to come out that are working. When I was helped to start Jubilee, I had the concept of a washing machine, and I would tell this to Kevin Campbell, and we'd play basketball at the YMCA, and we'd talk about it, and that's the washing machine. People will go in, children will go in, and they would run out all four cycles of the programs, and they would come out sparkling, and that's what we went around and told the Moose Lodges and all of our supporters. Grow Future is just an outgrowth of that. It's a little bit more focused, it's a little bit more laser focused, and the outcomes that we're looking for is productivity. It's not going to be for everybody.
Right.
It's going to be, it's come one, come all. But at the end of the day, we want people that have skills.
And one of the other things that you seem to stress, and because I've been following you all since we first learned about your organization, and one of the things that you stress that I think is so important, and as a mom, I've tried to do this too, is to stress the importance of attitude. The importance of having a good attitude, having a can-do attitude. Even one of your posts said, you don't hire for skills, you hire for attitude. You can teach skills. And a lot of times we have kids from all walks of life that feel defeated before they've even tried.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it as well. And you do a great job with helping them understand it's okay to ask questions and you don't have to have all the answers. So, I mean, even teaching that part of it is vital. Do you find that, that some of these kids really struggle in that area?
Absolutely, Janet. And to your point, we actually have a counseling program called Propel Counseling, which is an outgrowth of Anderson Counseling. So as a licensed professional counselor with an agency of about 30 employees, we're focusing on specific areas of counseling that are endemic to the populations that live in the urban areas. And so together, Trey and I, with his rich background going to VMI, we're really focusing on character development, and it's a very targeted and focused outcome-oriented community-centered approach. And so, yeah, that's what we're focusing on.
Now, you just did an event just a few days ago called the Grow a Future Fall Festival, where it looks like you had some great. How did that go, and is that going to be returning, do you think?
I think it went well, very well, as a matter of fact. You know, they hadn't had an event there in 3 years.
Right.
And so for the community to ride by and see, you know, our counselors, they all had on their blue shirts, mm-hmm. and on the back it says it's what you can do that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And children and parents were just riding by, looking down the hill, like, hey, is something going on?
I know.
And they were stopping by and coming by, and our staff was very happy. The community is happy. The old Dunbar graduates were stopping by, and they were smiling and fist pumping.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just really nice to see that area have something coming back, this family-oriented, youth-oriented.
Yeah. Trey, if I remember right, you guys targeted kind of that third to fifth grade because you feel like that's that age bracket that that we lose the kids if we don't get them by then. Is that correct?
Yes. So we began with targeting that third to fifth grade, but we've expanded that all the way out to the eighth grade.
Okay.
But the importance on the third to fifth grade is the academic struggles that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
which are magnified now more than ever.
Yes. And speaking of, I'm not sure if you saw the headline News Advance the other day, but the headline said, "We are failing these young people." Quote, you know, data shows thousands of Lynchburg City School students performing below grade level. And
I have a friend who teaches third grade.
Mm-hmm.
She is having to teach children how to use a pair of scissors in the third grade.
Mm.
I mean, and reading, so far behind.
Yeah,
they're so far behind.
Yeah, and math.
Oh yeah,
you know, but the
but if you can't read, you can't do. You can't learn anything else.
Very true.
Math or anything.
And that's why literacy is the most important part of what we're doing. We're located, you know, right next door to Dunbar Middle School and a block and a half down the street from R.S. Payne, both two of the largest schools in this area. But that third to fifth grade period in elementary school is very important because it's that fourth grade where you see the threshold where you go from, you know, learning to read to reading to learn. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you go on to the fourth grade and you can't read or you're not on your current reading level, mm-hmm. It begins a path in which you're on a path that ultimately leads you into prison, according to the statistics. A very high percentage chance.
Right.
Like 80% or so. And it's very hard because, you know, kids are stigmatized and ashamed and afraid. They don't want to ask for help. You know, they don't want kids to know other parents and adults to mm-hmm. know that they can't read. And so they begin learning how to hide it very well.
And don't you think part of this comes from maybe parents who can't teach their children because they didn't learn? I mean, it is we talk about generational mm-hmm. things. I think many times that can stem from that.
Yes, it's a transgenerational effect. You know, if your parents aren't, if children aren't watching their parents read or they're not interested in reading, there's a high likely, you know, chance that they're not going to be as interested in reading, or if their parents aren't engaged in the schools. So parent engagement in schools is extremely important.
you know, one of the things I really admired about Obama is that he really took that issue, you know, seriously. And he talked a lot about parent involvement, fathers getting involved in the community and in the schools, and the effects that it had, you know, on the communities and ability to get the academic performance and behaviors that we all desire and seek to desire.
And that is true. I mean, if you didn't agree with other things,
right? But
you can't
that was
that
one thing that I mean, I think he did an excellent job on, and really emphasizing the fathers in the home. So one of the things that we're doing to make a difference, you know, that separates us is we're focusing heavily on the parent engagement. You know, I like to use the, you know, the hole in the bucket syndrome, where, you know, say if you're a counselor, you know, you go see a kid, or I go pick a kid up and, you know, he has an empty bucket. By the time I drop that kid off, his bucket is full. But as he's getting out the car and walking into the house, you can see the dripping
it's
coming out of the bucket. You come the next day, pick him up again, the bucket's empty. And it's because you can't really have so much of an impact on a kid if you're not affecting his environment and his family, because nine times out of ten, the household is reinforcing the opposite of what you're trying to teach these kids. And so, we understand the impact and the importance of a wholesome approach, you know, a collective impact, and bringing the parents in, offering programs to them that they, you know, can capitalize on, which, you know, we have financial literacy courses and things that they can help develop themselves as well while their children are getting the, you know, reading specialist, the tutoring, you know, and being able to develop their reading skills.
People who are out there listening who may want to volunteer for your organization, or if they want to, you know, put some of their money that they're wanting to contribute to the community in a meaningful way, I can tell you personally, this is the kind of organization that is going to take whatever you can give and manifest that into real results. What's the best way for them to be able to do that?
Janet, basically, you can go to visit our website at www.growafuture.org, and the instructions on how you can help and volunteer and contribute in material and even prayer ways are there. All the instructions and just very succinct, concise information on the organization, you can find it at growafuture.org. And also, I'd be remiss if I did not mention Howard Erickson of World Help. We just lost him. He's the coordinator. He's been with that organization for over 20 plus years, and Howard helped us in our messaging with World Help. And so I just wanted to send a shout out to Howard and his widow. He just passed this past week.
Wow.
So World Help has helped us a lot over the years. So yeah, please visit our website.
I'm going to put a link on our Facebook page so people can go directly to that. We appreciate so much you joining us. We appreciate so much the work that you're doing in our community. It's just immeasurable the difference you're making in the lives of these children. Of course, we also want to thank Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation. They help us bring the nonprofit spotlight every Friday here on the Morning Jam.
It is 7:52. We'll have a Friday funny for you coming out of this break. Once again, thanks to these gentlemen for showing up. If you just came in part of the way through the interview, check it out on our SoundCloud page a little bit later on today. Just type in The Morning Jam on VTRN.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
The Community Spotlight is brought to you by the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation.
Thanks to our donors, the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation is a fully accredited organization that has the wherewithal to provide grant money to help support almost 200 nonprofits every year.
Find out how you can plug in and help these organizations make your community stronger, provide critical services and advanced opportunities for everyone.
To find out more about the Greater Lynchburg Community Foundation, please visit our website at lynchburgfoundation.org.